And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Waiver Wire Edition Week 18. I can't believe we've made it this far. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Last week before the Olympic break, outdoor games galore over the weekend, goalie fights, lots to get into, and Alberga in Alberta this week. So it's the three of us running the ship, myself, Chris Meany, Pete Jensen. Chris, how are we doing? Last week of NHL hockey before we're going to hit the pause button here for a little while.
Yeah, what's up, Jakey? Alberga in Alberta. That's a tongue twister. I'm sure he's going to tune in live, watch the Leafs play on that West Coast swing. Man, what a night last night, I thought, in the NHL. One of the best, if not the best, outdoor game, Jake, I think I've ever seen.
I would have to put it up there. I know a lot of people are going to reference the Buffalo-Pittsburgh game from all those years back with the snow coming down and Crosby, and that was when we were first kind of dipping our toe into the outdoor game. But I would say in terms of quality, we had a goalie fight. I didn't know Vasilevsky could throw him like that. We had a crazy comeback. We had controversy, I guess, with, you know, penalties called and things like that, and ultimately a 6-5 hockey game. Who doesn't have a lot of fun? And I thought, you know, I love myself a good pirate theme as well, means. I think they pulled that off. They really leaned into it, the Gasparilla thing for the weekend. So I thought it was well done by everybody involved, and had a lot of fun watching that game on Sunday.
You know, I think they started it off great. You mentioned the pirate theme from the Bruins looking like the 1700 Patriots, the creamsicle Buccaneers NFL jerseys. To see Kucherov walk in with an 86 NFL jersey on was hilarious. And then John Cooper looking like an absolute boss, his get up with the cigar, very Scarface-like. And it was 8 degrees at puck drop for a game in Florida, which was the coldest temperature on February 1st since 1900. Jake, they actually had to heat the ice. And you mentioned the game, it was absolutely fire. The 11 goals, Hagel scored 11 seconds in. It was the fastest goal for an outdoor game. The goalie fight, finding out Vasilevsky's a lefty, didn't see that coming at all. And, you know, a great game for props too. I mean, Kucherov had 17 shot attempts. He had the goal and 4 points, 35 points in the month of January. All of a sudden he's first in the NHL in points per game. He's just such an awesome player. Hagel had the 3 points in the 6 shots. Radish had 2 points, a goal, 7 shots. Gensel had 2 assists, 3 shots. On the Boston side, Geeky scored twice, 3 shots. McAvoy, a couple apples, a couple blocks, a bunch of cross checks. He was certainly frustrated last night with some of the calls, but man, this was a really good game just from an offensive standpoint. It was a lot to like, and there was some controversy. I don't know, have you ever seen a guy score an odd man rush in overtime in Pasternak and then all of a sudden make a trip to the penalty box? Like this game literally had everything.
I know Pasternak hasn't seen it because he was very frustrated after the game, saying, I don't know. He called it a joke. You know, players, when they're frustrated, use that a little bit. And I'm not really sure what happened. And I don't think any of the Bruins players were either. But either way, they were frustrated. Producer Bobby chimes in as well in the chat saying the big house for an outdoor game. Hard to argue against that. The scenes, the amount of people there, the snow. You know, the two teams that were involved. So that's a good one to bring up as well in terms of some of the best outdoor games. But yeah, we had a little controversy, and you never want that to overshadow how good the actual game was and what happened all before that. We always remember, you know, the end and everything like that. And Pete, I want to bring you in here on this. We had some good news and bad news in terms of injuries in this game. We'll get to the bad news in a little bit. The good news, Victor Hedman comes back. Great news for Team Sweden as well, ahead of the Olympics coming up in about a week or so. But Victor Hedman comes back, and I don't think it slowed down Darren Radish too much. He was still very impactful in this hockey game from a fantasy perspective. How are we playing this year moving forward with Victor Hedman now back and Darren Radish, whether you're a Hedman owner or a Radish owner?
You can try to sell high on Radish for the right price, but I still see Radish in his contract year being on power play one. And we saw that earlier in the year, means, right? Even when Hedman was out there, he kind of stole that spot, and we saw it even a couple years ago with Sergachev. Like, it's not far-fetched to think that another guy not named Victor Hedman can play PP1 for the Tampa Bay Lightning. We've seen it a couple times, including with Radish.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I mean, he leads the NHL in 90-plus mile-an-hour shots, so he's got that weapon from the point. He's first in long-range goals among blue liners, and looking at some of the edge stats, he's 95th percentile or higher in max shot speed, 100 miles an hour, average shot speed, mid-range goals. The power play is lethal. There's clearly a connection between him and Kucherov. They factored in on the same goal, the second most from a defenseman and a forward. And if you look at just the points overall, I mean, he's got 49 in 47 games, Jake. I mean, that's over a point per game. game. He's sixth among blue liners in points. He's third in goals. He's fourth in power play points. He's top 10 in shots. But since November 18th, when he took over this first power play unit and Hedman was sidelined, he is first in goals, first in power play goals, first in power play points. He's top five in shots, and he's first in points. So how can you take him off that power play unit? There's no chance I would sell this guy. I think he's going to go down at the end of the day as the fantasy hockey waiver wire MVP. He's going to win you some money in your leagues, and heck, he's going to get paid in the offseason, Jake, because, you know, he's a UFA.
Well, I'm curious your take on that. Like, is Tampa even going to be able to pay this guy for what he could command? I guess it's up to him. If he wants to take the discount and stick with Tampa, feels like he's got a good thing going here, competitive team, you know, cup contending team over the next handful of years. But look, this is a guy that had to work to get to this point in his career, and this is a big chance to cash it in. And there's going to be a lot of teams out there that would love to bring in a power play quarterback like this and offer him quite a bit of money, and Tampa's going to be pressed up against it. Obviously, they've paid a lot of their players already, so I'm very curious, Means, if Tampa can actually afford to keep Darren Radish. Now, I know that's a conversation probably for another day, and they're just trying to enjoy this season and go on this sort of cup run. And to tag what you guys said as well about him, if I'm a fantasy owner, I'm hanging in there. If there is, you know, the odd league where there's somebody that thinks Hedman's coming back and I want to get rid of Radish, I'd be happily there to accept Radish, because John Cooper's a smart guy. He's the coach of Team Canada for a reason. He's the guy we're going to be talking about possibly in the Jack Adams conversation this year as well. I don't think he's bumping Radish off that power play. And I think it will be beneficial, Pete, to maybe limit Hedman's minutes a little bit. He's going to have to go to the Olympics here. I think John Cooper knows what he's doing. I don't think Radish is going anywhere.
And yet another hidden gem that the Lightning have found through the years, right, along with Marchessault, Carter Verhaeghe, before those guys joined other teams and had even further success. And you look back at some of the woes, not to call them out, but when you go back and see that Darren Radish a couple years ago was property of the New York Rangers and never even got a chance to play a single NHL game, he was stuck in the AHL, that some of the player development woes that have put the Rangers in the spot they're in right now.
Yeah, and again, just if you're looking forward, I think from a dynasty standpoint, you hold this guy just because of that shot that he has. And I don't know if the Bolts can hang on to him and if they can afford him, but, you know, he's going to have some suitors. There's going to be some teams out there calling. I look at a team like the San Jose Sharks. Like, what do they need? Something on the blue line? Like, if he was, you know, signed to the Sharks, for example, and he was on that top power play, it's just, it's a massive upgrade of what they have right now. They don't really have a whole lot on that PP1. So I'm a fan of what he brings to the table. Again, that shot, you know, he's going to be on a PP1 no matter what, whatever team he's playing on. And Pete brings up a good point, just to kind of put a bow on this Hedman versus Radish, is that a few years ago, Cooper did ride Sergachev on that power play and limit those minutes. So he hasn't been 100% healthy. Olympics coming up, like you guys alluded to. I think that you could actually sell on Hedman. I know it was his first game in a while. He didn't play a lot. He's going to be a top 15 defenseman. I think you can sell, Jake, just on name value alone. Definitely between the two, I'd rather have Radish the rest of the year.
That's a good point. If he was willing to do that a few years ago with Hedman, and now Hedman's a few years older, banged up, coming off injury, it's an Olympic year. He's going to be playing some heavy minutes, I assume, for Sweden coming up. John Cooper and Tampa want Victor Hedman healthy for a playoff run. They see this as an opportunity to go on a deep run, a possible Stanley Cup run here. So I think they're going to try to limit his minutes as much as they can and save him for if they really need to ride him a little bit come postseason time. And speaking of players that Tampa wants for a playoff run, guys, Anthony Cirelli. This is the downside to this game. The bad news, we still don't know much information on this, but he left the game late in the first period after a big hit, did not return. Obviously, there's the side of the conversation where if he can't play next week at the Olympics, who replaces him? But Anthony Cirelli leaves this game, doesn't come back, and something we're going to have to monitor. Obviously, not the fantasy conversation maybe of a Hedman or a Radish in terms of his production, but he is a guy that likes to spread it out in some of those leagues that cover categories. So, meaning no Anthony Cirelli, possibly for the rest of this week at least, and we'll see about his status for the Olympics.
Yeah, a couple injuries over the past few days, Olympic guys. Jack Hughes is another one as well, so we'll see what happens. I know Sam Bennett's probably got his ringer on and he's waiting for that phone call, and I would imagine he's the guy that gets the call if there's a player that can't go for Team Canada. But yeah, it's been a tough go for Cirelli, and you look at this Bolts team and, you know, they're in first, they're hanging on, but they've had so many injuries this year. There's a lot of players up and down their lineup who have missed time. All of a sudden Vasilevskiy's won 14 of his last 15. You know, he looks like a stud, but, you know, we're gonna get to some waiver wire replacements in a little bit. But Pete, I know you mentioned mentioned Nick Paul before as a guy that maybe could step up in that top six. You know, he was taking some key faceoffs for them last night on that power play. They had a bunch of time on the 5-on-3. But Justin Stortif is one of those guys for me. Like, if you're looking for a center in deeper leagues for Washington, his ownership is 13%. The Caps got like six games here over the next month, which is an interesting fantasy week. We'll break it down a little bit. But Cirelli's a tough loss, Pete. Who would you pick to go to Team Canada if he can't go? It would be Bennett, or are you looking at maybe somebody else like Mark Scheifele?
I would love to see Scheifele playing there, but you know that John Cooper is trying to fit the exact mold, and Cirelli's one of his guys, and I guess the next best thing is to go over, tap into your rivals in the Florida Panthers. And I just couldn't help but look at John Cooper and all the aura you talked about. Does what happened last night on and off the ice boost his Jack Adams candidacy? He's never won the award before. Maybe we get to that a little bit later in the On the Money segment.
We could look at some Jack Adams odds, because I still think that it's fairly open, Meany, right? I don't think that it's a closed book yet. There's a lot of different contenders in there. And voters could look at it as a lifetime achievement award sort of thing, right? We see this sometimes in certain awards where it's like, okay, it's close between a bunch of contenders in this case. We'll give it to the guy that probably should have had like two or three of these at some point in his career. But there is some interesting candidates and a lot of teams that weren't supposed to make the playoffs that are going to make the playoffs this year, right? So I think that's what maybe could hold John Cooper back once again from winning this Jack Adams.
Yeah, all those years that, you know, he was in the running, and it's just the team, right? And I think that's, you know, voters are thinking about that. Oh, they got Vasilevskiy, they have Kucherov, they have all these studs, Braden Point. So I would say Lindy Ruff is the front runner right now. You know, no disrespect to what the Avs are doing. Again, loaded team, but what Buffalo is doing here right now, I'd say Lindy Ruff is the front runner. I think there's still a little bit of value on him.
Waiver wire for week 18 in the National Hockey League. Short week here, Petey, for the waiver wire. Only 4 days of games. We're going to shut things down on Thursday, get ready for the Olympic break. And tricky to navigate. I think a lot of leagues are doing it as a split week, right? This week and then the first week back after the Olympic break. So make sure to check out your settings before you get into this week and see how many pickups you have. But you're going to start things off with a new San Jose Sharks player on the waiver wire list this week.
So because of that broken week structure that you're talking about, Jake, and just how this whole month, you know, some teams only have one home game in the month of February. So you could plan long term. And that's why I would highly encourage people to look at Kiefer Sherwood. He's available in about half of Yahoo leagues right now. He's one of six players in the NHL with at least 17 goals and 100 plus shots. And he's also got 100 plus hits. So it's really impressive what he's done so far this season. And just I try to envision what's a guy's ceiling. His ceiling, if he plays with Celebrini and Will Smith, is Tom Wilson, or maybe even something better, a 30-goal scorer with over 200 hits, maybe even 250. And that's one of the most valuable players in all of fantasy. So that's what I would strive for in either trying to pick him up or try to trade for him right now.
Yeah, he's one of those touch-em-all guys, and I feel like he's going to get an opportunity to play with Celebrini and Will Smith, who's essentially been a point-per-game guy, and definitely a point-per-game guy since he's been back in the lineup. So, you know, Jake, you mentioned it. This is an interesting week. I think, you know, some people, it's a month-long week for them, right? There's 9 days of games. There's 4 until the break. There's 5 after the break. So just want to caution people, don't use all your moves on a Monday or Tuesday. There could be some injuries, unfortunately, during the Olympic break. So you want to hang on to some of those moves that you have. But there's 5 teams, Pete, with 6 games. Buffalo, Florida, New York Islanders, Pittsburgh, and Washington. Another Sabre on your list, man. Like, there's a lot of players in Buffalo that are widely available. And this team, guys, believe it or not, they are juggernaut on offense.
Oh, without question. I mean, they're playing to some of the overs left and right, and especially when they match up against other teams in the Atlantic Division. I know they got a Florida matchup coming up, a Tampa matchup. I mean, these have the overs written all over them, regardless of who wins. And Jack Quinn is one of those Kevin Adams guys that was kind of lurking for years. And, you know, this year he's really a dominant, even strength player, and he's touching a lot of different categories for the Sabres at even strength. He's just one of those guys that I feel like has taking the next step for Buffalo. They always had that young core. They were always one of the youngest teams in the league under Kevin Adams. Maybe they got their leadership straightened out, right? Not just on the GM front, but when you look at trading away Dylan Cousins, trading away J.J. Paterka, guys that didn't want to be there. Jack Quinn has wanted to be there all along. He's getting rewarded for it right now.
Vibes are extremely high in Buffalo, guys. Petey, this is what, week 18 of the waiver wire? I feel like we've had a Sabre on most weeks, even when they were struggling, right? We'd still be able to mine some fantasy value from them, but now the vibes are high. You could pick like three or four Sabres, and a lot of them are still realistically available on the waiver wire. Another guy I'm kind of surprised to see realistically available on the wire right now, we're going to get to On the Money here shortly, but Charlie Coyle has been a guy I've really loved in the prop market lately, whether it's for shots, a point, whatever it might be. But from a fantasy perspective, I still think getting a little underappreciated, and you got him on the list this week, Pete.
He had a monster week last year, had a hat trick, one of those 31 players in the month of January that had a hat trick. He actually capped it off. He was the 31st, so what a way to finish an incredible month of hockey, not only for the NHL, but for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They've been thriving, only one loss in seven or eight games under Rick Bonus, so really impressive what they've done. He's taken the first power play role. He's playing in the top six. High volume shooter. Props to Meany. He called that right from the get-go when they hired Rick Bonus, that he was a guy with a high shot volume that could continue to take steps forward. We've never seen him produce at this clip at the NHL level. His career high in points was 60 with the Boston Bruins, where he was mostly a third liner. Now he's taken on that expanded role like we've never seen before, and is a point per game or better under Rick Bonus.
It's a pretty surprising story, and Blue Jackets are rolling. They're right there, guys. We talked about this last week. If a team in the Metro can go on a 5 or 6 game winning streak, they're going to find themselves flirting with a top three spot. I think we're going to see two Atlantic teams take those wildcard positions, but seed 2 and 3 in the Metro is completely up for grabs, and Blue Jackets are absolutely rolling right now. I would continue to ride them and some of their players. I mentioned a couple teams that are playing 6 games here over this lengthy week 18 matchup. Pittsburgh's one of them, Pete. I've been going to the waiver wire this morning. Chinnikov, Mantha, Ben Kindle. Like, there's a few Pittsburgh players that you can grab, and they're one of those teams in the Metro. Like, they've had a really strong season, and their top nine is completely underrated at the moment.
Since, remember how well they played without Ricard Raquel? He's come back. You know, he's producing at a great clip in terms of points per game this season with category coverage. So he's a lineup lock across all platforms. Justin Brageau has been very productive. He's up to 14 goals. You look at on the blue line, Ryan Shea is over 20 points for the season. Stuart Skinner's playing pretty well. We love Anthony Mantha and his bounce back season. So yeah, you can't believe it really when you think they were probably going to be a preseason bottom five team in the NHL. But the Pittsburgh Penguins have value sprinkled across their entire lineup.
How about a team that's not doing nearly as well as the Pittsburgh Penguins, PD, the St. Louis Blues? Now, we can't speak as highly of them, but doesn't mean we can't mine some fantasy value, especially when we get out of the Olympic break. I do like to look at these teams that everybody kind of forgets about, that okay, guys are still going to get power play time. They're still going to get looks. And you got a young St. Louis Blue on your list that I had some interest in early in the season. It's kind of fallen off, but maybe he's starting to pick it up again here.
Yeah, we liked Snuggerud from the get-go this season. His lineup position was inconsistent. Blame the coach. Blame what? I don't know who to blame in St. Louis, but they need to strip it down here. I thought they would be a dark horse contender to go pretty far in the playoffs. They were very close to doing so last year, but so many of these veteran guys and even middle-aged guys have not performed well. So maybe over the course of the next couple of weeks, they trade a Jordan Kyrou. I know Robert Thomas is injured. It's not the same vibe going on in St. Louis this year. So the only way they could turn is toward the youth, and Snuggerud is their best young player. So looking forward to what he could do down the stretch.
You know, it's tough to find defensemen out there. We've talked about this all year. I think you really just have to stream if you're in a league with hits and blocks. Maybe you take a look at Ryan Shea. Pete, I know you mentioned him, you know, with Chris Letang sidelined for the next 4 weeks. You know, he's touching some categories for you. But Zane Parekh was recently recalled over the weekend to the Flames. I'm not sure if he's going to play tonight, but, you know, they traded Rasmus Anderson. You feel like this is the guy they're going to give a look to maybe on that first power play down the stretch of the season. He played four AHL games. I believe he had 5 points. Do you think he's a good pickup, good stash? We know what his value is in keeper and dynasty leagues, but Pete, what do you think?
I would love to pick him up right now. He got his conditioning stint under his belt, played well in the World Juniors, of course, and we saw how he was fired up there to make an impact and let his personality be known a little bit. And he'll bring that to Calgary. He'll bring some flavor to the equation for them. And you look at his stats in the OHL, they speak for themselves. Back-to-back 33-goal seasons as a defenseman. And his last season in juniors, 107 points in 61 games. So this is a guy with untapped potential, even for a non-playoff team in the Flames once he suits up.
Petey, how about goalies? We have seen the emergence of some three-headed monsters around the league. Teams rolling out three goaltenders, which could be very tricky to navigate for fantasy owners because you don't know if you're even going to get one start every week. But you've got some interest in the Montreal three-headed monster right now.
Definitely. I mean, Jakub Dobish has had an outstanding rookie season. Still rookie eligible. 6 straight wins. Fantasy managers have had kind of a love-hate relationship with this guy because sometimes he doesn't get the playing time. He had that incredible start to the season where he was like 8-0, but then fell off a cliff. But now you step back and look at it. He's got 18 wins in 26 games this season, including that recent heater. So he's worth rostering in standard leagues for the rest of the season. And Montreal is one of the most consistent teams in the entire Eastern Conference this year.
This team has been dying for a save. I thought Montembeau looked good when he was recalled, but he is just lost his confidence. Dobish, look at him in the save prop market. I know we're going to get to on the money here in a second, Jake, but 36, 26, 32 saves the last 3 games. There's something to be said about him winning games. If you look at the whole career, I know it's a small sample size dating back to last year. He just wins games, so I think this is his net for the foreseeable future.
Well, we will get to On the Money very shortly, and you could check out all Pete's entire waiver wire, nhl.com/fantasy. Lots of good stuff up there. On the Money coming up on the other side. But first, a look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Chris.
Pete, 10 games on the ice for a Monday night. Who are you rocking in your NHL Fantasy Stars lineup?
Slavkovsky's been a lineup lock for me all season long. He's had a 20-20 season this year. He's up to 21 goals, had 7 shots on goal in his last game, and then he... brings a lot of exposure to that Montreal offense that's been clicking lately.
Love it. Will Smith is underrated. You can get him for cheap, a couple hundred coins in the open market. We have Bedard and Celebrini tonight. I'm fortunate enough to have a purple Bedard card, so I'm going to watch the points pile up. And also Mackenzie Weegar. Pete, I trained his block shots. He has 21 in the last 4 games. You get extra points for block shots, and Calgary's given them up.
I've been training Matthew Schaefer, and he goes up against the Washington Capitals, who are dealing with a banged-up goalie in Logan Thompson, and they have not been playing well either. So kind of like Schaefer to roll him out once again for the Islanders.
Check out our must-start team to play under the radar players at nhl.com/fantasy. Download the NHL Fantasy Stars app today and watch those points pile up.
Back here, NHL Fantasy on Ice, Jake Conn, Chris Meany, Pete Jensen around the table. A little breaking news on the show today, guys. It sounds like out of Nashville, Barry Trotz, who took over as general manager just a couple of years ago, we knew him very well as a head coach, stepping down as general manager in Nashville. Sounds like he's going to stick around as long as it takes to find a replacement here, Meany. And this is a very interesting situation for someone to come into. A team that has improved a little bit since the start of the season, certainly playing better, but has a lot of veterans on their roster. We know what Trotz did really has not worked out in terms of what he's done with this roster. So I don't know what's next for Barry Trotz, but a little breaking news here is it sounds like Barry Trotz will be out as general manager of the Nashville Predators moving forward.
Pretty surprising given the timing. You know, I thought maybe this would be a move you'd see in the offseason. Some of the moves that he's made just haven't worked out, as you alluded to, signing some older players like Jonathan Marchessault and Steven Stamkos. Stamkos has had a heck of a season, a nice bounce back campaign, but this is one of the older rosters in the NHL. I look at some of their appending UFAs, Michael Bunting, Eric Halla. There's not a lot there. So I wonder who comes in, and it's certainly going to have to be a rebuild, right? I mean, Pete, there's just a lot of older players on this roster. Roman Josi, one of those guys as well. They are playing much better hockey lately, and I feel like they could maybe potentially sniff a playoff spot, but it's an interesting move at this time of the year.
I mean, definitely one of my favorite coaches ever, not only bringing the Islanders back to respectability, but what he did for decades in Nashville and winning the Cup with Washington. And he tried the GM thing, and it's just Nashville is at such a crossroads with its veteran talent, performing so well with Yossi and Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly, 51 points in 54 games this year. They should try to trade him and get some first yes. round pick or something back for him at a high note. But yeah, disappointed to see that Trotz couldn't turn it around in Nashville these couple of years.
Meany mentions the timing right before a trade deadline, trade freeze. Now it sounds like he is going to hang around until they find a replacement. So maybe he manages the deadline. Just a very, very unique situation. We don't usually see something like this. And who knows, maybe we see Barry Trotz back behind an NHL bench. I like him better as a coach. I think now seeing what he's done as general manager in Nashville. So we'll continue to monitor that situation more on it on the Thursday episode of the show. But now it's time for On the Money presented by Bet365. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up three goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Very interesting week this week, Meany. Lots to bet on. We only have 4 days of games, but a pretty heavy slate each and every night, and that includes a heavy Monday slate, which we don't usually have on the show. We mentioned off the top, Alberga on assignment in Alberta. Alberga in Alberta. Say that five times fast.
Can't do
but
it.
They start things off in Calgary Monday night before going to Edmonton. This is the part of the back-to-back you gotta have. If Toronto has any hopes, and I'm not a believer in them getting this thing turned around, means, but I do think they win this game in Calgary tonight. At least rope the fan base back in a little bit before that game at Edmonton on Tuesday. So give me the Leafs as a small favorite in Calgary to make Alberga happy out there.
Yeah, I don't hate that play. You know, Austin Matthews, four shots, I can get behind. Maybe a same game parlay at Bet365 with a William Nylander, John Tavares point, and get plus money with those two guys. And something I've been tweeting out, we've had in our picks, is just players to keep an eye on for block shots. We talked about the boost we'd see from Mackenzie Weegar when Rasmus Sanderson was traded. He's plus money again for three blocks. I don't know if the Leafs can fire enough pucks towards him, but his last four games, 21 blocks, 4, 7, 5, and 5. So this is a prop that's hit pretty comfortably. Pete, what do you like?
Well, I like Cole Caulfield. I mean, there's no hotter goal scorer in the league. It's incredible to see some of these U.S.-born players that are not on the Olympic team, right, in the month of January and things like that, between Alex DeBrincat, Cole Caulfield, and Jason Robertson. Maybe as we get closer to the Olympics, those guys, last couple games, one of them tries to drop a hattie, and if there's an injury, to try to tilt the scale in their direction before they head off to Milan.
That should be a fun game, that game on Amazon Prime. You have the Quinn Hughes versus Lane Hudson, and you look at Minnesota, since they made that trade, they're 15-5-5. They have 35 points, only the Sabres and the Lightning have more. Montreal actually fourth over that span, but you look at since December 16th when they acquired Hughes and Lane Hudson tied for second among defensemen in points, 28 each in 23 games. So that should be a fun one. I think I like the Wild on home ice. Montreal has some issues in Minnesota over their last few years, and I really like where Joel Eriksson Ek is at, Jake. So maybe him and Matt Boldy is the same game parlay. You can take a look at 2 points potentially for Nick Suzuki or Quinn Hughes, but I really do like the Wild at home.
And Cole Caulfield, look who he's playing tonight, Minnesota and Bill Guerin. I think a little extra incentive maybe to say, hey, don't forget about me. If anything happens this week, I'd love to play. But if not, I'm going to stick it to you with a big goal. And Caulfield has been absolute money this year, whether it's shots on goal, goal prop, whatever it might be. Minnesota can be a tricky matchup, but I don't mind playing him just in basically any matchup at this point. Petey, we also get Bedard and Celebrini on Monday night, which is, I mean, that's going to be one we're going to get excited for years and years to come. I got to give the lean here to San Jose. They're a very, very small favorite on Bet365 on the road, almost a pick 'em between these two teams. I just think they're in a much better spot than the Blackhawks at the moment. Chicago's had the dip ever since the Bedard injury, so I'm looking there. And I also think Colorado runs it back. Second time they face Detroit in a few days. I'd take the Avs in regulation, Avs on the puck line here. I just think they're a much better team, and they get them in Colorado on Monday.
And to reiterate, keep an eye on if Sherwood is playing. If he plays, I really like San Jose in that game and some of the prop angles. Keep an eye on the lines when he is in the lineup to see if he's with Celebrini and Will Smith. Wanted to give a shout to the Jackets. Their odds have narrowed to make the playoffs during this run, but still a pretty juicy number, plus 175 for Columbus to make the playoffs. They still have some more ground to make up, but they definitely have a chance if one of those teams in the East regresses a little bit.
Only four back of the Islanders with a game in hand, right? Again, they're 9-1 in their last 10. They've won five straight. Their offense is near the top of the league since they made the coaching change. And we talked about Coyle and some of their other players. You know, back to Will Smith, 365 has adjusted a little bit on his point prop. I still like it, you know, as a borderline single. Maybe you put him in there with Celebrini, but 7 points over a four-game point streak. And he's shooting the puck. He's plus money for three shots. He has 5 and 4 shots in his last two games. I think we'll see some offense between the Penguins and the Senators tonight. I like the over 6.5. Dylan Cousins is nearly plus money for a point. Him and Brady Tkachuk are they have some chemistry together on that second line. If Chinnikov shows up and Mantha shows up, you maybe take a look at those guys as well. And then a big one tonight between the Panthers and the Sabres. If the Panthers are going to make the playoffs, they got to win these hockey games. Like, this is a must-win hockey game for the Florida Panthers on February 2nd. I know they beat them last during this run. The Sabres have essentially like a couple losses. The Panthers did beat them one of those games. I look at Verhaeghe tonight for a point. He had 3 assists in that win last month. He has 13 points in his last 13, and Jake 14 in his last 11 against Buffalo with 3+ shots in 7 of those games. So take a look at that line, Verhaeghe, Tkachuk, and Bennett. I expect Florida to win tonight, and their big boys are going to show up.
I was going to mention that Penguins second line as well. Still getting some good value shots on goal for Chinnikov, a Malkin. These guys seem to be playing some pretty heavy minutes, getting some power play time in there as well. And I don't know who Ottawa is going to be starting between the pipes. Great story to see Omar come back over the weekend, look good, win the hockey game. I don't know if they're going to go back to him or if they do a James Reimer. So kind of monitor that. That would affect my opinion on that game. Petey, you got to have some Sabres for us in that Sabres-Panthers game, right? I'm actually really excited for this game. If Florida wants to have any chance of getting back in this, they probably got to win this game and win it in regulation. But you got to have a couple of Sabres for us tonight, right?
Well, definitely look at the point prop for Matias Samuelsson. I also wanted to mention another defenseman in that Islander game. Matthew Schaefer is up to 15 goals this year as an 18-year-old. That's tied for fourth among all defensemen. And the NHL record for an 18-year-old in the goal department as a defenseman is 17 for Phil Housley. I mean, Schaefer is going to shatter that. And you can get Schaefer for plus 400 to score an anytime goal with how he's been ripping the puck. I love that angle as well.
Yeah, he's been awesome. It's like one thought here on Vegas on the way out. Like, I don't know if there's anything in the futures market because I look at the Atlantic Division minus 1,400 for the Lightning to win the division, right? I mean, they're going to win the division most likely. Colorado minus 4,000 in the Central. Carolina minus 1,400 in the Metro. Vegas is a slight favorite in the Pacific. There are 5 teams that have more wins than them, but they're in first. Anaheim, Edmonton, San Jose, Seattle. Sorry, 4 teams that have more wins than Vegas, but yet the Golden Knights are in first. They're on a crazy losing streak. Since they picked up Rasmus Anderson, they only have 1 W. Are we concerned about Vegas? Is there any value here, 245 on Edmonton? Is there any value plus 550 in the Kings? Jake, do you see anything here in the Pacific, or is this just the division's so weak, Vegas is fine, they'll probably win it?
How about you take a little shot on the Ducks? The Ducks, maybe? I don't know. I look a little further down the board because I feel like it's I don't trust the Kings to do it. Edmonton, certainly, they should be in the conversation. We know what Edmonton's capable of if they can get the saves. They could win this division for the first time in a very long time. But, Meany, I like the shout of looking at the Pacific because it just feels like no one's got a strong grip on this thing. I liked Anaheim early in the year. They went through their dip. They've kind of figured it out again here recently. So I would actually look to that Ducks number just as a little bit of an outside shot. You get a pretty big number. Don't have to put much on it. I think they could give you a fun sweat late in the year.
Pete, there's no chance Seattle wins the division, right? But they're 3 back of Vegas. They've won 4 straight. They have 2 games in hand on Edmonton. This is, again, it's the only division that seems to be up for grabs at the moment.
I mean, we'll see where Panarin goes, but if there are rumblings he wants to play in California, whether it's the Sharks or the Kings, I mean, you could look at that potential bump and get a head start on it. I mean, whichever team were to land Panarin, whether as a rental, as an extension, out in Cali would certainly have their betting odds skyrocket in the Pacific Division race.
I also would like to play in California, so I'm with Panarin on that one. We'll see how that works out. I mean, all 3 California teams realistically could make the pitch for him. I think LA could be the desperate team. San Jose obviously still looking more towards the future, but good to bring up that Pacific Division, and we'll get into that. We'll monitor that in a mailbag edition of the show before we shut things down for the Olympics on Thursday. Hopefully we get Alberga back from Alberta. If the Leafs lose both games, I don't know if he's going to come back. So thanks for this today, boys. As always, you've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Get those mailbag questions in for Thursday. Thanks for joining us.